I really want to do, and that's what I love about this show. But you know, the last 4 days, whatever, every day this week, it's just been basically interviews of people. But I think it's important for us to see and understand the depth of commitment that some of these folks have. You know, this Roe versus Wade was January 22nd, 1973. I'm going to sit down here on the curb. I don't think they're going to. 1973, and today is 2017. So if my math's any good, that's 44 years. There's some people down here who've been in this battle for 44 years. Spent time in jail, lost jobs, paid a horrible, horrible price. One thing that's really kind of disturbing to me, especially as Sarge mentioned to me before we went live here today, is how much criticism Rusty Thomas and all of us really down here in Louisville are receiving from other people who call themselves pro-lifers. It never continues. It never ceases to baffle me. It never does. Christians are the worst at eating each other. We're the worst. We're the absolute worst. And some of the things that we try to do and some of the things that we try to work together on, I was sharing with somebody last night, the power that I saw yesterday down here on the streets of Louisville. I've been doing street ministry since 2003, so what is that? That's 14 years. I've never seen anything like I saw yesterday. I'm going to get into that a little bit. And those of you who watch the show regularly, understand, is that bad background, Jared? Maybe that one's a little bit better. That lights. Some things are better felt than telt. And it always amazes me that the ones who want to tell everybody how to do something are the ones that aren't doing anything. They're not doing anything at all. And I know Rusty's been under a horrible attack on Facebook and other places from those who aren't doing a damn thing that want to tell us how to do it. They want to tell us how we ought to be doing it. And those of you who watch our show regularly know that I talk a lot, or we discuss a lot, the love gospel of love. God is love, 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 love is all there is. All we need is love. Why can't we all get along, gospel, according to Rodney King? And if you'd have been with us yesterday, and if all those people on Facebook who are making all the comments and complaints and poking Rusty Thomas in the eye about, the media is trying to paint us as militant. Remember the same reaction we got when I started talking about from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence and violent men take it by force. You remember that? Well, it's that same crowd, those same people out there, they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand that when we talk militancy, when we talk violence, we're not necessarily talking about guns and spears and spikes and hammers. That's not necessarily what it is. But I want you to know that when we were on the street yesterday, the kingdom of God, we took back some territory. I'm telling you, violent men went in there and we took back the territory. Wasn't a punch thrown. Wasn't anybody kicked in the shins. Wasn't anybody knocked down. Wasn't anybody's lips that were bloody. But we went out and we did what they tell us in the book of Jude, to earnestly contend for the faith. That's what we did. We went out and earnestly contended for the faith. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Unless you get off of your butt and you get out and you face what we're facing down here in Louisville, Kentucky, unless you get out in the streets and you see these God-hating pro-aborts, these Satanists, these demonically possessed people, until you get out and you see them face-to-face, you can preach your love gospel all you want to. And I'm going to tell you something. You might as well be whistling Dixie. I'm just telling you the truth. We're in a war. We know it's not a physical war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We understand all that. Give me a stinking break. We understand that. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback and sit on your hind end back there and tell somebody, oh, you're not going to lead into Jesus. Oh, you have to love them into the kingdom. Listen, baby, we are in face, hand-to-hand, toe-to-toe, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball contact with the evil one. We are in mano-a-mano. You understand what I'm telling you about?
Amen.
We are staring down and fighting against the forces of darkness, and they ain't interested in being loved into the kingdom.
Amen.
Now, we pray they get it. We pray they come into the kingdom. But I'm going to tell you, when you're in the middle of, hey, Sarge, when you're in the middle of war, you ain't trying to heal the enemy, brother. We're in a war, and the enemy is and has been present. And we had the most unbelievable thing happen yesterday. I said I've been doing this a long time. I'm going to show you a little bit of some video clips of it here in a second. Maybe some of you have already seen it as I tried to YouTube, Facebook Live some of the stuff that was going on down there. But here's the truth. Even some of that stuff's getting censored. We can't get it up on, can't get it up on the internet. My Facebook, here's what was happening, guys. We showed up down there. I told you this before. My mind goes in about 1,000 different directions. So I got to try to let the Holy Spirit rein me in. I'm going to say this before I talk about yesterday. How about what Trump did yesterday, huh? How about what Trump did? George W. Bush, would he have done that? Huh? Jeb Bush, would he have done it? Huh? What did he say? None of them weirdos. None of those mentally ill people in the military. You guys know that, right? Huh? He said, no transgenders in the military. We ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. Oh, those homos, they started. Now they're bringing out all these ex-veterans who are women. I mean, it's like we're in la-la land, you know? We're la-la land. And it all goes on because we're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings, or we're afraid if we say something mean to them, they're not going to be led to the Lord. Hey, folks, listen to me. These folks are either mentally ill or demonically possessed or both. There ain't no two ways about it. They're not a man in the world. We were standing out there yesterday arguing with these snowflakes or whatever. So I got in a, you know how I work. You know how I roll. I got into a conversation with one of these girls who's an it. She didn't identify as nothing. She didn't identify as nothing. And some other guy sticks his nose in, and I turned right to him. I said, listen, first thing I said to him, I showed him the love of Jesus. I said, hey, buddy, do you have sex with men? Man, oh, man, oh, man. It was like pulling down his pants. And then he starts telling me, well, no, I'm trans this, and I'm binary, and on and on and on and on. And if you think that's not a mental illness or that's not demonic, there's something seriously wrong with you. And here's where we are in America. See, when I say that to him, when I read his mail and say, hey, buddy, do you like to have sex with men? Oh, no, I'm not loving. I'm not loving. That dude's standing out there doing everything he can to keep the truth of God from going forward, and I'm supposed to go over and love him into the kingdom. Folks, we got to wake up. We are. Hey, Sarge, do you love people into the kingdom in war? Come on, Sarge, help me out here. Do we love people into the kingdom in war?
No, you got to take the patent approach.
Shock and all, baby.
You kill him or he's going to kill you.
That's right. That's right. And that's what it is. And until we realize that, wake up and understand that we are in a spiritual battle, and that those people that we are, by the way, those who are controlling our society, the universities, the legislatures, the courts, the school boards, the everything, until we wake up, Christians, realize that those folks are either seriously demented, mentally ill, or demonically oppressed or possessed. Till we understand. See, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And we don't even know what that means. We don't even know what it means. But the evil spiritual forces are deeply at work. What kind of man, what kind of woman would want to murder a baby? You tell me that's normal? You tell me that's normal? And there's people standing out on the street are for it and supporting it. And there are people in the church criticizing because we're being harsh. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with
hey,
you?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George, I'm not as mad as I seem. I wish I was mad. Yeah, George.
Coach, I'm, you know, honestly, I'm pretty mad too. You know, the only way I learned about what you're saying, and this is to all these, I call them weenie Christians that sit back and criticize, is I learned it by going out on the streets, just like you're saying. And I'm going to say this, that you know what? There's only one Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. There's not two Holy Spirits. So one of us is right and one of them is wrong. And I'm telling you, if you have that hypocritical mentality that you won't get out and defend the unborn, I'm going to personally question whether you're really saved, because there's only one Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit should be in you, convicted to get your butt down and do something for the kingdom.
Yes, sir, George. Rather than sitting around and criticizing everybody else, and while I was standing there yelling, my old buddy Donna Holman, 82-year-old Donna Holman, who fell and broke her, hip about a month ago, and she's down here. She's down here. She ain't criticizing our techniques. She's not worrying about leading people to Jesus. She's down here fighting to save the unborn children. See, there's an immediate need, folks. Before I get mommy saved, I got to save the baby. Before I save mommy, I got to save the baby. There's an immediate action that needs to be taken. Donna's been in jail more times than we can count. You're live around the world, Donna. Tell them what you got to say about it. Here you go, sweetheart.
Cain killed Abel, God said, the voice of his blood cries to me from the ground. And the voice of almost 65 million babies' blood cries to God from the ground in America. They say there is a war on women. There is no war on women. The war is on preborn babies, and there are 65 million fatalities so far. It's the third world war, and people don't even realize that we're in a war.
But Donna, we're hearing criticism from people that are saying we're not being loving enough. We got to quit being so harsh with them because they'll never come to Jesus if we continue to be so harsh. What do you say about that?
I think when they look at us, they see an example. Example.
Hmm. And so you, the 82-year-old Donna Holman, how many times you been in jail, Donna?
I've been in jail 16 times, and I don't want to go back again.
Don't want to, but you're not afraid to, are you?
No.
But here's the point. They look at you, Donna Holman, they watch your actions, and they know this one thing about it. You believe that's a baby, and you believe that's murder.
It's murder. Abortion is murder. The truth is, abortion is not the right word. Abortion means to remove a dead baby. That's not what they're doing. They are deliberately murdering a baby.
That's what they're doing.
And the women are not victims. They are murderers.
Say that again, Donna.
The women are not victims. They are murderers.
Amen.
They go and pay the abortionists to murder their baby.
So folks, thank you, Donna. So folks, why do we hide it behind that truth? Why are we afraid to say that? We had a speaker last night, a lady who started a ministry called Sisters for Life. She's a black woman, had two abortions when she was 17 and again when she was 18 years old. And she stood in front of that crowd last night and she said this: in all of her life, she'd been in church her whole life. She's a Christian, been in church her whole life, and couldn't ever remember a pastor one time talking about abortion and the fact it was sin. Not one time was it even mentioned. And she said she knew there were other people sitting in that church. They didn't know it was wrong either, because nobody was telling them. And the culture's telling us it's a choice and it's women's right and all these lies and all these lies. And then when people like Donna Holman and John Brockhoff and Ray LeBlanc stand up and speak back, they're hateful. Those are hateful. They're not showing the love of Jesus. How much love of Jesus are you showing to that precious unborn baby? How much love of Jesus are you showing to them? I'm not mad, it just seems like it. What do you think, Ray?
I'll tell you guys, we were there. Hold on, just gonna put the ear plug in. We were there in compassion and in love for people that were on the outskirts that wanted help. We were sensitive to looking for the people that were in need. But when we get there and a bunch of Satanists show up with blasphemy signs in the name of Jesus, I can't even repeat what was on some of those signs. Now, we are not to go and love on them. They are there, and they are sold out for Satan. They were organized, and they were in a fight. And it wasn't the time to pray them into the kingdom with candy kisses.
Okay, Ray, just stay right there, man. You tell these guys, because you came down here kind of on a whim, or abortion's a big issue to you, Ray.
Yeah, man.
Tell me what's happened in your heart since you've been down here 4 days, 5 days, and I've seen it eyeball to eyeball, face to face.
Well, I see a lot of hope, especially with the prayers that everybody's putting out across this land now. There's something's been broken. I really believe there's something been broken. That last night's message was to believe abortion is over in this country. We have won the victory. Now we got to walk in it. We got to walk in faith and believe that God has tore down this wall, and we are going to win this victory.
But the streets is where it matters, right, Ray?
Amen. And you got to be out there. You got to be vocal. You got to be seen. They're not going to see you hiding in the side of a church. They don't know the message in there. It's the people that are out in the street. We we had the signs, and there must have been thousands upon thousands of cars going by. And you can't tell me that when looking at those babies all tore up to pieces, that doesn't affect people's minds and hearts. It has to.
And Ray, you see a different picture of it now. You've been to the Homo Pride in Columbus, huh?
Yeah.
You came here,
yeah.
You've seen the enemy again here, right?
Yeah. Amen. It's a wicked thing, but we have the love of Christ and the hope of Christ in us and the hope of glory. I mean, we can't lose. You know, we know we're on the winning side. We know we've repented. The churches are starting to wake up. A lot of these pastors that were here today, they got a burden on their hearts. Like Coach was saying there, the lady that shared last night, 18 years or so in the church, having abortion and never once heard the message. Well, the message is going out now. The message is going out loud.
They never heard it was wrong. I got that short. I raised up on a step.
Awesome,
step
right?
Down, so I didn't look that. I'm going to pull this out of your ears. I'm going to move on here, Ray, because I'm in a flow. Jared, I sent you some stuff today. Here's what Jared, can you find one that I sent you? I think it says Jason Storms. It might be the first one, Jared. It's a news report from CBS News National. Can you find that there for me, Jared? And I want you to pull that up because I want you to see this. Jason Storms is Pastor Matt Twella's son-in-law, and he's a powerful minister. Hold that second, Jared. Okay, folks, I'm going to set this up for you because here's what I want you to see. Jason said this 2-minute clip. He was down outside the abortion clinic 2 days ago. He was outside the abortion clinic doing ministry, and CBS National shows up. And he said they talked to him for about 45 minutes. And of course, anytime that happens, you know they're going to use whatever they want to. They're going to chop it up. They're going to make you look like a fool if they can. Jason's a great apologist. He's hard to mess up. But I want you to watch out. I want you to watch. They grilled him. He said, told me then in private, he told me afterwards, that they grilled him over and over about abortion being murder. And I want you to watch this. It's about a 2-minute clip. And I want you to watch the bold Christian man, Jason Storms, on CBS News to the world, calling abortion murder. Go ahead.
Just outside the last clinic in that state that performs abortions.
CBS
Anna Werner is in Louisville.
Abortion is the ultimate form of bullying.
The protesters are organized by the group Operation Save America, which calls Roe versus Wade a covenant with death and wants abortion outlawed.
We're talking about the killing of an innocent human being.
Evangelical activist Jason Storms and his wife Sarah came with their 8 children from Milwaukee.
Little baby girls are also being murdered in these abortion clinics.
Kentucky only has this one clinic left, down from 17 in 1978. Its new Republican governor wants to take that number to 0, and the protesters agree.
Officer, we pray for the dead.
In May, nearly a dozen of them associated with the group were arrested for blocking the entrance to the clinic. The events in May prompted a federal judge to order a buffer zone be temporarily placed around the clinic's entrance so patients can get past the protesters.
Are you frightened of them?
It's intimidating.
Ann Ahola is clinic director.
Shut me! Stop killing children.
Protesters are more aggressive now, as in this video from 2015.
The scare tactics have escalated, so the patients come in more upset, more scared.
Storms insists they're not violent and points out he and key leaders of Operation Save America have never committed violent crimes. But their group calls women who have abortions murderers.
A mother who has knowingly, willingly chosen to kill her own child out of pure selfish motives, she's guilty as a murderer in the eyes of the law.
It's disturbing for patients. It's intimidating. It is a discrimination against women. It's their choice to exercise this reproductive freedom that we have and should continue to have in this country.
Protesters here this week will have to abide by the buffer zone. That's the stripe.
See, you hear the lies, folks? You hear the lies? Oh, it's about the woman. Here's what we know in this pro-life fight. If we make the choice about the woman, a woman's right to choose, well, the woman's going to win every time. But if we make this fight about the baby and a baby's right to live, the baby lives every time. See, that's not the way they do it. That's not the way. It's always about the women. The poor war on women. Those poor women being picked on. Those women are going to walk in there, knowingly murder their unborn baby. And one of the problems that we have is we won't have pastors in America who will say that. They're more interested in saving the mommy than they are saving the baby. They want the mommy to go to heaven without the baby ever getting a chance. Or even worse than that, I hear people say, well, the baby's going to heaven anyway. I say, well, hell, kill them all then. Let's kill them all. What kind of logic is that? I'm going to jump in here. I'm not as mad as I seem. Yes, I am. Choose life or death.
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
Dave? Quick question.
Yes. Yes.
In the church, you're pro-abortion. What confronts them when they meet their creator, Christ, sitting on the right hand of God? It can't be a simple meeting.
Well, they're going to need an attorney with them, I can promise you that. And if they receive Jesus as their Savior, the Bible says he's their attorney. He's going to sit there. But Roger, see, here's the problem. We have people sitting in our churches who believe in the forgiveness of premeditated sin. You understand what I'm talking about? We're not to tempt the Lord thy God. Don't tempt him. Don't say, hey, Lord, I know this is terrible. I know I shouldn't do it. I know it's a sin. I know I shouldn't do it. But thank you, Lord, that you're going to forgive me. That's premeditated sin. We better be very careful if we think the Lord is going to look the other way when we knowingly poke him in the eye that way. And unfortunately, pastors all across America, that's what they're teaching people. That God's gracious and he's going to forgive you and don't worry about it. He knows your situation. He understands and he loves you. And dear, go ahead and kill your baby. It'll be okay in the end because Jesus loves you and Jesus will forgive you. That's the message going forth. That's why the evangelical church won't stand up and fight.
Coach.
Drawing a crowd here this morning, yeah.
Yeah, Coach, do you think with these churches, though, if it wouldn't affect the offering, do you think they'd stand up and start speaking the truth about this?
Yeah, I think so, George. I think it does affect the offering. I think so. But how can any man of God not speak the truth? How can you not speak the truth about something as critical as this? Do you have any idea how many – you talk about a war on women. Do you have any idea how many women today are burdened because they killed their baby? They're burdened. We heard a speaker last night, a pastor, says when he counsels his women in his church who've had abortions, he makes them say what it was they did. He makes them say, I killed my baby. I murdered my baby. He makes them say it. And say, oh, I had a choice. I made a bad choice. Or, oh, I should have chosen life for my baby. No, sister. You murdered your baby. Own up to it. You murdered it. And until you own up to it, only then are you going to be able to receive the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. Only then. And our churches won't do it. We want to love everybody all the way to hell. Love everybody into the kingdom. Well, what was Jesus' first sermon? Same first sermon that John the Baptist had. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When's the last time you heard that word in church? Repent. Repent. The kingdom of God, that's not very loving. You'll never draw them to Jesus being harsh like that. Come here, Rusty, if you could. Can I steal you a minute?
Yeah,
I've got Rusty over here. Big things going on down here. Rusty went to Frankfort, Kentucky yesterday. They met with some legislators up there. And how about this? Long ride over there. And how about this, folks? They want him to come back. Some of the legislators there say, hey, listen, you got to come back. So Rusty and Pastor Matt Truella, they're going to go back there again today. Tell us what's going on there, Rusty.
Well, amazing thing, Coach.
Let me get this over here. Wait, yeah. Up here a little bit.
Well,
you know, there you go. You can just talk.
Well, the amazing thing, Coach, is as the battle is raging here and the saints are taking it to the streets, and this battle is raging in the heavenly and on the streets. The amazing thing is that as it's happening in here in Louisville, incredible doors are opening up in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Lawmaking aspects.
Yes, that's the governmental aspects. And so this is making news. People are
CBS is there, ABC's there, CNN's there, everybody, rest of the eyes of the world, America on Lexington or Louisville, Kentucky, right?
It is. Uh-huh. It is, Coach. And so the doors that God is opening, we're simply going to walk through, and we're just going to stay faithful to the vision and mission that God has given to us. And we're literally having this opportunity to instruct the civil magistrate on their duty before God to protect and defend the lives of these children. So, brothers and sisters, we're hitting this from every possible angle.
Okay, so, Rusty, hang on, man. Let's get to the nitty-gritty here a minute. What about the – I go on Facebook, and I look at all those soft, wussy pro-life leaders out there criticizing you because you're not showing the love of Jesus to them, Rusty. You need to love them into the kingdom. Rusty, you need to love those women. Don't take those pictures out there. They're so harsh. They make women feel guilty. Rusty, you would be far more effective if you did this. And Rusty, oh, if only you did this while they sit home on their butts watching on Facebook. Help me out here, brother.
Coach, help me out. Listen, we are stuck, honestly. What's happening right now and the way things are manifest. We got one side thinking we're too hard, too firm, too strong, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then you got another side thinking we're all compromised and we're so soft and all this kind of stuff. Guys, we can't be bothered with that.
No.
We're not going to be reactionaries. Nope. We are going to be proactive.
We're going to plow our field, baby. We're going to plow our row. That's what we're going to do. Huh? You can sit home. You can sit home and count the peanuts if you want. We're going to go out and plow the field. Go ahead. Keep going, Rusty.
Yeah, you want me to keep going? Coach?
Yeah, man.
I don't know, Rusty.
But they're watching and they're amen. Let me hear an amen out there. Somebody give me an amen.
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 Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Well, brothers and sisters, honestly, continue to pray. Some powerful things are happening. Heaven's coming down. Hex breaking loose. There's so many voices, so many agendas, but we just want to stay on that straight and narrow road that leads to God's life for us and for these children and for our nation once again. God bless you, saints.
Amen. And listen, I'm going to tell you, all of you out there on Facebook, as I said a couple weeks ago on Facebook, all of you criticizing Rusty and criticizing OSA. Hey, boys and girls, you couldn't carry Rusty's jock strap. You understand? You sit up there in a peanut gallery telling everybody how to do it. You couldn't carry his jock strap. Most of you don't even know what that is. Where's Frank Campana? Where's Frankie? Come here, Frankie. Get over here real quick. Are you going to have a meeting here? I'll step back. We're just doing a show. Come here, Frankie. Let's get over here. Folks, I introduced you the other day, sort of, to Frank Campana. Frank, we may have to walk over here. You have to speak into this so they can hear you.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Well, I was telling him about yesterday what's going on. And hey, listen, folks, we had a war yesterday with downtown. Frankie, let's step around the corner. Yes. We had a war yesterday. Let's go down here.
Yeah, we sure did.
And when these pro-abortion, these God-haters, when they showed up, that's just a stick. When they showed up.
Yeah.
It was the most amazing thing. I'm going to show you a clip of here in a minute.
It was awesome.
Our kids, the children, those arrows that we have trained.
Oh, yes. Praise the
Lord.
Oh,
my goodness. Did they enter into the battle? Frankie, hang on a minute, Frankie.
Okay.
Because you're a father of how many, Frank?
None.
He's trained his arrows, brother.
Yes,
I'm telling you, he has trained his arrows. And when we saw those kids step up and run to the – they didn't run away from the battle. They ran right to those pro-abortion baby. They began to pray. And it's unbelievable. Sure,
you know, let's just say that Psalms 127, that's how it all started with me. You know, that I believe that God wanted me to have as many children as he wanted to be. It's a blessing. Who would want to turn away a blessing from God? So, but I didn't knew what my duty was, to raise my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 127, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children one's youth. Blessed is a man who has his quiver full. Well, men, how many, if you went into battle, do you want in your quiver?
How many arrows
do you want in your quiver if you're going to go into battle? I say as many as you could fit in there, my friend. Listen, when we did yesterday, what we did was we prayed and then we worshiped. My daughter got up and sang Amazing Grace.
Oh, my goodness.
And
what a moment.
We reclaimed the land that enemy was trying to steal from us. Listen, we're not called to give up land. The Bible says us that we're going to take back the land the enemy stole.
That's
from
right.
Us.
We love them so much. We're going to give them everything that we cherish.
Amen.
Right? We're going to give it to them. We love you so much. Here, have our children. Have our country.
Yeah.
Have here. We just
Amen,
love you.
Brother.
Want to go to heaven? Would you love to go to heaven? Would you love to repeat this prayer after me?
That's right. And listen, it's not what the pulpits of America are preaching. It's what they're not preaching. We're tired of the panty-waisted, limp-wristed Christians out there that are worried about their paycheck instead of preaching the truth. And we know that love is patient, love is kind, but it doesn't delight in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And the truth is what we bring to them. Let me tell you something. These people are blind. And we're out there giving them the gospel
truth.
Well,
we are for sure, brother.
That's for sure, brother.
But, Frank, you don't regret having 9 kids? You saw those arrows being shot yesterday, exactly as the Lord said, since that they will contend with their enemies in the gates. Right? Were they doing that yesterday?
They were doing it yesterday, and that's what they have been trained to do, because that's what we're called to do as the Church of the Living God, is to raise our children up that way. The book of Malachi says to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and in turn, the children's hearts will return to their father, lest I spite the land with the curse. I commission you, fathers, to read the word to your children, get your arrows ready for the war and the battle that's coming,
so that
we can reclaim this land for Jesus Christ, because God uses us as men to train the troops of truth in Jesus' name. Frank, it can only be done in Jesus' name.
Where are you from, Frank?
I'm from Florida. If anybody wants to come down and visit us.
He came from Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Yes, sir. Palm Bay, Florida.
Brought his family up here at his own expense.
Yes,
paid to stay in a hotel.
Amen.
They didn't go to Disney World. No. They didn't go wherever everybody else goes. They didn't go to Six Flags.
All the years of vacations that we've ever done, we did it with our brothers and sisters in Christ doing ministry. You want to strengthen your families, brothers in Christ? You want a family that's unified and together? Pray with them and do ministry together. Don't have individual ministries. Have family ministries and come out with us. And go to the gates of hell. They will not prevail against the Church of the Living God. And you are called to commission your family to go with you and come meet some of these mighty men of God that taught me how to walk the walk and talk the talk the way Jesus did.
Amen, brother. Thanks, Frankie. Folks, that's why I love to come down there, because it's just, thanks, Frank. There's guys like him everywhere. I'm telling you, they're like everywhere. Somebody jump in. Or Jared, I want you to get on my Facebook page, Jared. I want you to get prepared. First thing I want you to get prepared, Jared, is Rusty at the press conference. We were at the federal court the other day, and we had a press conference, and I want you to hear the prophetic voice of Rusty. Get that up there, Jared. It's on my Facebook page, I think, just with Rusty. It's about 2 minutes long, maybe a little bit longer. Anybody got anything to say? If I want to jump in here real quick. It's raining here for the first time. Getting outside to scurry under some cover here. I don't know how much time I have. Okay, we're doing good. Anybody something to say? Okay, well, I'll keep talking. So, Jared, if you can, pull up that. This is Rusty Thomas in front of the national media. Make no mistake about it. The national media's here. Churches in Louisville, of course, they're not here. Pro-aborts, they're here. God haters, Satanists, they're here. We go to our evening rallies. How many people here are local? And you got 2 or 3 hands to stand up. There's a war raging right in the middle of their community. They don't even see it. It's bigger than them. That's okay. So Rusty had a press conference. They held a press conference out in front of the federal court building. And I want you to listen to this prophetic voice of Rusty. He ain't preaching to, not preaching to the choir here, okay? He's talking to these God-hating press. Listen. Yeah, Roger.
We got a public sidewalk, a little space. Think about the tax money that has been spent on these cases, where our government is straining at a net, a line on a sidewalk, straining at a net and swallowing a camel. Babies are being murdered and thrown away like a piece of trash under our watch. And they call this law, they call this legal. But it's an abomination in the eyes of God before all of us are going to give an account on that day. And so now the federal government has stepped in, and they tried to remove our First Amendment rights instead of doing their duty to defend the life of those children. And thanks be to God, they have failed. They have stood down, and freedom has returned to those streets. And it's not an if, It is a win. That death camp is going to go the way of every bloody tyranny of men. They're done. They're over. They are history. In Jesus' name.
Wow, folks. That's to the national media. Of course, you're not going to see that on CNN. You're not going to see that anywhere. But Rusty certainly delivered the mail. And I don't know if you caught this in that Jason Storms clip that we played earlier. There was a one-time 17 abortion clinics in Kentucky. 17. Freestanding abortion clinics. Today there's one. There's only one. We're going to be out in the front of that thing this morning, getting ready to load up and roll that direction now. And we're going to close that down in Jesus' name. Only the church can do it. Only the church can. And we saw again yesterday the power of the church. We have no confidence in the gospel. We bought this lie that this world's not our home, and we're just passing through. We're going to go to a better place. And why did he take us there? Why would he leave us here? He told us we're going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What does that mean? And why aren't we more actively involved? Here's what I want to do, Jared. Pull up that Facebook. Boy, there's a lot of good stuff to show you, man. On my Facebook page there, Jared, there's a clip that starts out. It's just, daggone, which one is it? Here's what I want to play, Jared. I want to play from yesterday. Hang on, right there. I want you to play about 10 minutes of this. Jared, let's get into about the, let's fast forward this to about the 7-minute mark. I don't know where it is, what it's going to be. But folks, I want you to see that when the pro-aborts showed up, the God haters, the Satanists showed up yesterday, I want you to watch specifically how the I don't like to call them youth. I don't like that word. I've never liked that word. How the young Christians went and did battle against them. I want you to watch this. So, Jared, get it to about the 7-minute mark. Let it roll there. Jared, can you pause it a second? Folks, listen. I got to say this. I forgot to say this. We've talked about this before on the show, the subject of jamming. Jamming is when they come, they blow whistles, and they blow horns, and they beat on drums, do everything they can to keep the word of God from going forth. So these guys come, and they show up, and they start jamming us, blowing horns, all that stuff. We turn up the volume on our praise and worship music, and just watch what happens. Sorry to pause that. Go ahead.
But you came to this earth and you died a cruel death so that we might be saved from our sins. Jesus, we're here to worship you today. We're here to lift you high because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our adoration. And if we don't praise you here today, the rocks will cry out and praise your name. You that you are a God of life. You are a God of life, not death. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of light, not darkness. We thank you for the power in your name, Lord Jesus, today. We thank you for the clear difference that we see here today between the light and the darkness. We are here to bring light.
Folks, you can find more of that on our Facebook page. It's long, but I suggest you to see it. See how our young kids went up praise and worship right in the face of these God-hating pro-aborts. Very, very powerful movement. And I had several conversations with the police. In fact, I had a chance later on to get on the PA system, and I spoke to the police, and I told them this. I explained to them that there's two kingdoms. The cops, I said, you guys deal with this every day. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of light. This is the eternal conflict that goes on in every city. When you go, when you get called and you have to go to, report to, a call that's made, you better understand when you go walking in there, you better know whether you're dealing with the kingdom of the light or the kingdom of darkness. Because the two are at war. And I said to them, this cop, just says, as you stand here and you look around, one of these two kings is going to be in charge of America in 20 years. Your children and your grandchildren, they're going to live under one of these two kings. And as you do your daily duties, and as you guys stand here today out here in this public park, tell me this. Which team do you want to see in charge 20 years from now? Which team do you think is going to be best for your children and your grandchildren? It's time that you guys boned up and understood that the responsibility that you have is to hate evil. To hate evil. The purpose of law enforcement is to resist evil. Romans 13. That's their job. To deal rightfully, justly with evil. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And we saw it yesterday. And so those cops are standing back and those people are standing back and they're watching this battle that goes on. And my. They saw the two teams. We even had different uniforms on. They saw the two teams. And so there's a lot of stuff that's happening as a public witness that unless you're out in the streets, you don't understand. So here's what happened. This is critical. And I'll give somebody a chance to jump in. After this initial battle, it ended about noon. I call it battle, spiritual war. Things calmed down, and most of our group, they had to load up and go to lunch. I couldn't leave. I can't go. I couldn't go. And the young kids, they wouldn't leave. They told their parents, no, we're not going to go. We're going to stay here. And while we were sitting there over the next hour or so, more and more reinforcements for the God haters showed up. So their crowd grew from maybe 30 to 60. And they were there, and all of a sudden I'm looking over there and they've reclaimed the ground. They've taken the ground back where we were set up. They've taken it. And I'm trying to tell whoever listens and listen, we need a second assault. This is a military thing, man. We need to regroup and we need to come back at them. We can't leave here with them occupying that ground. And about then my buddy Jason Storm shows up. I had a quick conversation with Jason Storms and he got on the PA. Oh my goodness. He went at them hard. You know what he went at? He went out the fact that they're dysfunctional. They came from dysfunctional families. They came from mommies who didn't love them and daddies who rejected them. And their whole life they've been cast out. And they haven't fit in this group. They haven't fit in any other group. And so you're out here with all these people. You're all just misfits and miserable. You're all out here trying to tell us about how to raise families and none of you ever had a baby from a dysfunctional family. And I'm telling you, you could see their hearts begin to melt. And Jason hammered them and hammered them and hammered them. And then Frankie, who was just with us, his daughter walked up and grabbed the microphone and sang Amazing Grace. And I'm telling you, my friends, they packed up and left. As the song was playing, those 30 or so left. Packed up their gear. They left. And there we were again, standing back on that turf that we had taken from the days of John the Baptist until now. The kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. We saw that happen. Powerful, powerful moment. Somebody jump in here. What time is it? Get my glasses on. Okay, good.
This is.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, I remember back at the Columbus, Ohio parade. Where the preaching was being done and the jamming was intense, but I noticed that people actually looked and listened to what was being preached. So that it just reminded me of back then. Thank you.
Well, Jeff, we jammed back. We jammed back, man. We cranked up that PA system. It was remarkable because the police, there were hundreds of them there, and they just stood back.
and they let us go at it in the spirit. They didn't know what was going on. The cops didn't get it. They didn't understand it was a spiritual war. But these kids have been trained that it is a spiritual war. If you go on and you watch more of those videos, those kids went and they got down on their knees in front of those God haters, and they prayed and they lifted their hands and they played music and they sang. And brother, praise stills the avenger. What a powerful moment. So all these cops, they're standing back and they're watching. They see what's going on. They see the power of the church. They see the power of the gospel. They were really, really moved, man. It's a powerful moment. Somebody else? We jammed hey, back.
Coach.
Yep.
Governor Matt Bevin, he came out a couple weeks ago that there's the murder rate in Louisville is going to set a new record this year. And he was asking for the faith community to go out, walk those streets in the West End praying, and people mocked him for bringing faith into the government. So that's why we need to stand behind people who are in government trying to take a stand. If they don't feel our got their backs, they're going to cave.
John, I couldn't agree with you more. We are the water and that holds up the boat, no doubt about it. And we're on an assault after the pulpit, man. I mean, there's no, last night at our rally, that was the same message that was spoken last night at our rally. The pulpit, man, we've got to awaken the pulpit. We've got to awaken the pulpit. Begin to speak against sin. We've got to reclaim the pulpit. Call sin, sin. Call people to repentance. Because we're running, as you see on Facebook, we're running into Christians everywhere who are okay with sin. They don't hate sin. They claim to love Jesus, but they're okay with sin. Remember the Doobie Brothers? Jesus is just all right with me. That's it. That's where we are. Jesus is just all right with us. He's just all right with us. What a position to be in. Hot or cold. Not lukewarm. Not just all right with me. Jesus is just all right with me. My brother shared the other night the idea of hot and cold. He said, we don't have that. We don't understand that right now. Jesus said, I wish that you were hot or you were cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of your mouth. He said, listen, we got it all wrong. He says, sometimes you need a hot drink. Sometimes you need a cup of coffee when you're cold. But he says, there's times when you're out in the summer and you need some cool lemonade. And that cool, refreshing lemonade. Jesus wishes that you were hot or you're cold. Both aspects of it, applied at the right time, can in fact bring deliverance and blessing. Hot or cold, either one, depending on the situation. 90 degrees down here, I don't want a cup of coffee. I want a cup of cold lemonade. He says it's when you bring somebody a lukewarm drink. That you don't bring the right spirit with you for the time in which you are standing in. That's the lukewarm, when you show up with the wrong type of water. When you show up with the wrong type of spirit in whatever situation you find you're in. And if you're lukewarm, go along, get along. We end up exactly where we are. So here's what we're going to do today, and I'm going to try to stream this later on. I'll give all of you a fair warning out there. We're going to do an ecclesiastical court today. It's one of the most powerful things you'll ever see. We're going to go to the federal courthouse. We're going to declare 7 Supreme Court decisions that are null and void. 7 Supreme Court decisions. We actually have caskets, and we pull the Supreme Court decision out, and we tear it up and declare it null and void, that the Supreme Court's not the Supreme Ruler, all of that. We're going to do that this afternoon. I'm going to try to live stream that for everybody to see it, because it's one of the most powerful things that you see. My buddy Robert Dresden, just want to get Robert in here a second. How you doing this morning, Robert?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Robert's come all the way from Granite City, Missouri. What do you think, Robert?
I'm still getting over being sick here the last couple of days, I don't want to get too close.
Okay, buddy, what do you see about what's going on, Robert? You've been here several times.
This is my first time here with OSA National.
Is it?
Yes, it is. No, this is an experience I'll never forget.
Been powerful, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Hey, when we show up, Jesus wins, baby. When we show up, let them pin them, no doubt about it. When we show up, Jesus wins. Amen. Well, I'm doing a live broadcast right now. How much time I got here? I got just a few minutes. Anybody want to jump in here? Here's one of the things I want to do. Let's finish up with this, Jared. Go to that, on my Facebook page, go to that segment where it's me outside the clinic. And the video starts, Jared, just with me. I'm standing there in my white shirt. That one there, right there, brother. Folks, I've done this before, and I want you to hear this. Outside the clinic, I play over the
over the public address system, a baby crying. That's all it is, just the voice of the baby. I said, let's hear from the baby. What does the child think about what's going on? We know about the mother and the mother's choice. What about the baby? This is a pretty powerful segment. Let's let this, Jared, let's take about this. How much time, what time is it, Jared? Okay, let's play 6 or 7 minutes. And you make the decision, pull the plug. I got to load up and go. Powerful moment. So the baby, we play the baby crying, and then I interpret what the baby's saying.
Very powerful, very powerful.
You brought me
to this doctor. Mommy, that nurse seems cold. It doesn't seem like Gigi or like Grampy. There's something not right, Mommy. Why have you brought me here? No, you don't have to be afraid. No, the man's not going to hurt you. We won't let him hurt you. But mommy, that doctor has very, very cold instruments. He's poking me in the foot with him, Mommy. So the mother would say, well, that's okay. That's okay, honey. It's not your time to live. We're sorry that I made a mistake and went out and slept with a man and didn't mean to even have you come on board. So we're just gonna quietly let you go to sleep. I know. But you see, the government has given Mommy and Daddy the right to choose. They get to choose whether or not you get to live or not. I'm sorry, you don't get to choose. That's not your choice, it's Mommy's choice. And Mommy's made the decision that her life is far more important than your life. And if she knows that if she could just kill you and let you go to sleep, that then she can go to college, she can keep her job, she can keep her boyfriend. Your daddy is. That's why most of these mommies are here, because daddy just got him in the back seat and then he walked away. I don't know if your daddy loves you or not. Your daddy's not here. All you can do now is just go to sleep. Mommy, when we walked in, I saw all of those people standing out there. I saw men in police officer uniforms. Maybe they can help. Maybe they could save my life, Mommy. Go tell one of those police officers that they're getting ready to make me go to sleep. Sorry, honey, the decision's already been made. I just thought maybe it'd be a good time for us to have heard from the victims. Yes. And every one of us that stand out here, we have our hats on, we have our shirts on, we have our signs. And the reality of it is, every one of us standing out here know that there's a baby being killed inside this office.
Yes.
Some of us hold signs to oppose it. Some of us dress up in silly pink outfits to act like we're doing a good thing. But you know, the same thing that's going on in here is the exact same thing that happened in the Nazi Holocaust.
Yes.
That Hitler said that Jews were not human beings.
Right.
They weren't human beings. In fact, in the Dred Scott case, the U.S. Supreme Court said that a black man was 6/10 of a human being. And the only way that they're able to kill people, born and unborn, is to dehumanize them. To say it's not really a baby. It's a blob of tissue. Jews aren't really people. Blacks are subhuman. And the same thing is going on right here today out inside of this building. We all know what's going on the inside. And I would say to the girls dressed out here in purple, here's the truth. When that mother walks out of here after having slaughtered her baby, in 3 weeks from now, she wakes up in the middle of the night with night terrors and horrors about what happened to her. Where are you going to be? You and your little purple outfit, where are you going to be?
Yeah,
where are you going to be?
You are
accomplices to murder. Not only that, it's one dead and it's one wounded. And I would say to every one of these women, these men dressed in purple, you know better. Your mom and dad raised you better than this. You did. I don't know if you're angry at men. I don't know if you're angry at your dad. I don't know what you're angry at. The scripture tells us to be angry and to sin not. And you guys out here are no different than those who stood outside the crematorium in Auschwitz and watched the Jews be escorted in. Just doing my job. Volunteering to do my job.